fierce and fearless. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
You know, I think old Joe's going to have a lot of explaining to do on a whole bunch of different fronts. You know, whether it's the fact that he wrote the 1994 crime bill and referred to people of color as predators, just like Hillary Clinton did. Or if it's going to be the fact that he said that Israel is the best $3 billion investment we can possibly make and we need to stop apologizing for our relationship with Israel. Or maybe it's the fact that he broke his promise when it came to not raising taxes on the middle class. Grover Norquist here, Americans for Tax Reform president. Grover, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
The presumptive nominee here, I think I've heard that before, the presumptive nominee, Joe Biden, who's clearly in the front of the pack right now. Yeah, the thing about having a long record in politics is that you have a long record in politics, and people can go back now and say, what about this, what about this? And you're focusing in on the economic impact of Joe Biden and his broken promises. Bring me up to speed.
Well, he ran for president twice, ran for vice president with Barack Obama. And in the debate as vice president, he's on video making the promise that he and his presidential candidate Obama made regularly. And that was that no one in the country who earned less than $250,000 a year would ever pay a penny more in taxes if he got to be vice president than Obama was president. Well, as soon as they got into office, they moved through the Obamacare bill to dramatically raise a series of taxes. One of them was the tax to penalize you if you didn't buy Obamacare. $700 for a person who said, thank you, I just don't want Obamacare. Now, the $700 didn't get you Obamacare. $700 was a tax just to penalize you for not buying Obamacare. $2,000 for a couple with two children. Millions of people were hit with these taxes. Trump and the Republicans ended that tax. It has now been set at zero. They didn't actually repeal it because of the odd way of what the law requires. So they didn't get rid of it. They just said it's now zero. So it's still there. It's just zero now. But 75% of the people who are hit by that tax, for nothing, for which you got nothing, hit people who made less than $50,000 a year. He taxed people's health savings accounts and flexible savings accounts, maybe 35 million people. They're not 35 million billionaires in the country. So there were a series of tax increases in Obamacare that went directly at the middle class. Now, all of the Obamacare taxes, eventually did.
You mean like tanning beds and things like that?
Yes. Tanning beds not only hit individuals who owned a tanning bed and had a small business, but people who went and did that. It was about 10% tax they put on that. These taxes really went after middle-income people after he promised not to. So if he pulls that out, and once again, as Obama did and as Clinton before him says, oh, I'm only a tax rich people, the one thing you know is that he has lied about that in the past. He has lied about his willingness to raise taxes, and they went straight at the middle class as soon as they had power.
Yeah, and you would expect the same this time around. I mean, obviously, the wish list, if you will, Grover, of what they want to do, they being pretty much all the left, they want to take control of health care altogether, getting rid of 200 million people's private insurance. They've made no bones about that. They want to make sure they're in charge of that. So they want government-run health care. They want to increase the wealth tax. Bernie Sanders wants to increase the estate tax to who knows where. I guess he doesn't understand the concept of a family farm being generational or a business being handed down to a member of your family, a son, a daughter, a niece, a nephew, whatever it may be, because all this does is destroy family farms because you have to sell the real estate because oftentimes farmers are wealthy on paper, but because they've got real estate holdings. But in order to pay the inheritance tax, the farm has to be chopped up and sold off just to meet the obligation of the federal government. There is no farm left. And then they complain that you have too many big, you know, commercial farming operations. Well, gee, how do you think we got there?
Yeah, it's a very sad situation. But our friend Biden has always sided with the forces of big government every time a question came up. And he's only run in Delaware and then unsuccessfully when he ran for president a couple times. And then he, as vice president, you don't get to actually campaign. You're just sort of a speaker. They ship you around and you give talks. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. He's older. Sometimes people say he's moderate. I just think he walks a little slower and he speaks a little slower. And he doesn't sound like he'll be at your throat immediately. But in point of fact, he has announced that he views himself as the most progressive person in the race, even before he got in. So,
yeah, it is interesting to note he's 76 years old. If he were to win and run for a second term, he'd be 82 because he'll be 78 before he would win election. And he would be 82 years old if he was reelected. And 86 at the end of his second term. I mean, at some point, age does have to make some sort of a difference, doesn't it?
Well, it does. But I think it's also that people learn things when they're 20 and 30, and then they decide that's the way the world works the rest of their life. So he's going in. I think he thinks that organized labor, that labor unions are going to take him over the top. But, of course, they don't have quite as much money as they used to because the Supreme Court said you can't go steal it from teachers. You have to ask them for it.
Right, or votes. They don't have the votes. They don't have the power. They don't have the clout. They don't have the money.
And sort of the identity politics has trumped some of the union money. So it's a different kind of campaign than he walked into when he was running for Congress or Senate. I think he's going to have a little bit of a Jeb Bush problem, where Jeb Bush had run for governor, not as an incumbent, in 98 successfully, 1998. And then that was a long time before the 2016 race when he sort of jumped in.
Sure.
You're looking at 18 years since he'd not run as an incumbent.
Sure. Let me ask you a couple of things. Beyond Biden, I've got about a minute left here.
Yes.
Grover, I just want to ask you a couple of things. Crude oil, Brent futures topping $75. The unemployment claims, first-time claims, showing a jump. Concern here, or just, you know, are we still going through a pretty good economic stretch, or are there some warning signs?
I think the economy is generally looking good. Look today, they should be announcing the first, at 8:30 Eastern time this morning, the first quarter's growth. It's projected to be around 2.5, which would be a very good sign. You did see durable goods yesterday come in, not at 0.7 growth, but about 2.5.
Right.
So that was those are very helpful signs. Stock market continues to be generally happy. I think the biggest mover is going to be when we get an agreement with China. Both the benefits of the agreement, but also the benefits of stability and
sure.
how you know what you get rid of some of the guesswork.
Well, you know, and I thought for a long time, Grover, that the whole thing with China, you know, kind of put a governor on there, if you will. But as soon as we get closer to the election, take off all the tariffs, take off everything, and the economy goes on a tear. I think that's probably a political move. Got to leave it right there, though. Great conversation, as always, Grover Norquist, Americans for Tax Reform, the president thereof. Grover, you have a great weekend.
You too.
There you have it. Grover Norquist, everybody. Quick break. We'll be right back.
So, you're finally ready to lose weight. Maybe it's so you won't need medication for diabetes, blood pressure, or high cholesterol. Or maybe it's just to look and feel better. Whatever your reason, MyPureHealthSolutions.com can help. MyPureHealthSolutions.com will customize a weight loss program designed specifically to tackle the hormonal imbalances that cause you to be overweight. It's a program that can be done anywhere, on any schedule. Learn more today at MyPureHealthSolutions.com. MyPureHealthSolutions.com. That's MyPureHealthSolutions.com.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals. but I learned to push through. And that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to Grads of Life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
There are kids at some of the schools in our Greater Lansing community who are struggling with basics like food, clothing, a safe place to live. When you're worried about the basics, it's harder to learn. If you can read and write, you can help these kids, which is a tremendous investment in our community. If you've got some time and want to be a part of the solution, the Capital Area Literacy Coalition could use your help. Visit thereadingpeople.org for details. That's thereadingpeople.org for details.